Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I enjoyed you listening to you go off on some caller as I was listening to the post.
I was losing my mind last night. I couldn't take it because, you know, after these games, you're not dealing with rational people.
Yeah, everybody's a little crazy.
You're dealing with crazy fans who are so emotional and...
Understandably.
Totally understandably.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to be rational, and people are, like, mad at me. I'm getting attacked on social media, and I just kind of lost my mind.
Yeah.
It happens.
Well, real quick before we get into the game, I had a really fun day yesterday besides the loss. As you know, I did the part of the tailgate show. We had a great time. I met so many awesome fans that I hadn't met before, Dustin. So many people that came to Cleveland from out of town, and people from Florida and Indiana and Pennsylvania and California. It was really great. I had a fun time doing it, and I had a good time at the game. And I can get into some criticisms I have, but I'll save that for later.
For what?
Annoying things people did in the press box.
Okay.
Just kidding. But anyway, in terms of the game itself, you know, I brought this up before, and I mentioned this to you when we were driving into work today, that we live in a time, and I'm guilty of this sometimes too, and everybody is, where everything is black and white. Everything is 1 or 10. Everything is good or bad. And the reality is that everything is really a shade of gray. Everything's on a scale. Nothing is a 10 or a 1. Yeah, maybe 1% of things are, but 99% of things are somewhere else along the scale. And so every time you lose, it feels like a 0. And every time you win, it feels like a 10. And often that's not the case. There are no moral victories. That's true. It's time for the Browns to start winning. And ultimately, they failed to win the game. It's that simple. And there are a lot of mistakes and a lot of problems with this team that need to be corrected. But there were some positives on this day against a good team in Seattle. Not a great team, but a good team in Seattle with a great quarterback. A great quarterback.
They're a team that can win the Super Bowl, I believe.
We'll see.
They're 5-1.
I mean, with
and they have one of the best quarterbacks. The best quarterbacks in football.
That's the only reason they have a chance. I don't think the defense is really that good, but I think we just assume they have a good defense because it's Seattle. I think people get caught up in this. Well, it's Baltimore. They got to have a good defense. Seattle, they got to have a good defense. I don't think their defense is very good, but when you have Russell Wilson, you got a shot.
Super Bowl if they get in the postseason, which they will, and make a run.
They got a shot. Mm-hmm. They certainly got. You got Russell Wilson, you got a shot. But the bottom line is this was a pick 'em game. Browns were in some 7-point underdog. They were at home, and they lost the game. There were some positives along the way. I thought Baker played really well in the first half. I thought the defense did a great job in the first half. But it all fell apart in the second half, Dustin.
It did.
And it fell apart for a lot of the same reasons. Mistakes and penalties. And yeah, the penalty on Jarvis Landry was a hideous call. I don't know what whichever ref called that. I think it was the guy behind the play, and he probably didn't see it, so I don't know why he threw the flag. It was a hideous, hideous call. But they didn't lose this game because of officials. They lost this game because of mistakes, and that continues to be a problem with this team. Even on a day where they play a fairly good game, especially by the offense overall.
I mean, the offense did enough in this game for you to win.
Yeah.
Frankly, the defense did enough for you to win the game. It's mistakes that are costing this team. They're still trying to figure out how to put teams away. Seattle's a veteran team. They've got a veteran coach, you know, who's been there, who's won a Super Bowl. The Browns are still this young roster with all these different egos and personalities that are still learning how to mesh. You know, listen, it's not a moral victory. The Browns game yesterday, I'm not taking it as such, but I'm not taking it as the season is over, and I'm certainly not looking at this as same old Browns. I'm just not.
I agree with you.
Same old Browns would have lost that game 45-7. If you turn the football over four times and you have a blocked punt, the odds of even having the lead in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes to go, 5%, I'd bet, with that many turnovers.
They really had five because the block punt is essentially a turnover.
Well, yeah, well, I said four turnovers in a block punt.
Yeah.
So, you know, to even be in that game, it tells me kind of how close we're getting. But being close doesn't matter. You got to get over that hump, and you got to find ways to win these games. And yeah, you are 2-4, and it stinks.
Yeah.
But the season's not over.
Season's not over, but they put themselves behind the eight ball. I mean, they are tied with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have lost their quarterback and played with a third-string quarterback yesterday and won against a pretty good team.
Sure.
On the road. Well, it didn't really feel like they were on the road because it seemed like the whole crowd was for the Steelers, which was ridiculous. But technically, they were on the road. And that's unfortunate. There are things to question. I got to say, and I've been very critical of Freddie, and I will continue to be. I got some beefs with Freddie. But I think this criticism of him for being aggressive at the end of the first half that led to a turnover, Dustin, is a total embarrassing second guess by a lot of people, media and fans alike. If the Browns, when Baker throws that pick at the end of the first half,
mm-hmm.
if the Browns score a touchdown, is anybody in the media asking, why did you get aggressive there?
No, they'd love it.
Are the fans saying, what is Freddie doing there? No.
No, they said, genius. Man, he saved his timeouts and he get the football back, and maybe they get another three, so it's a 10-point swing.
Who knows? Even if they didn't score again, it doesn't matter.
I'm not mad at that. I mean, I'm mad at the throw. It's behind his target, and it's into double coverage. And nobody was open.
No. Well, I'd like to see them run the ball a little more, but
they ran on first down.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Chubb is unstoppable right now. I think you give him the ball enough, he gets in the end zone. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is,
I didn't think Chubb was great yesterday. I thought he had the great run. But I thought for the most part, they kind of contained him. He was looking for a lot of yards. I mean, one run was 60 yards.
Yeah. He only ended up with like 90, right? No. He had 120, 130.
Did he have that much?
Yeah. No, I thought he had a good game. What am I thinking about?
Well, I know this much. I felt like he was not getting the chunks that he typically does. And he fumbled.
He did fumble, sure. I mean, how many? Was that his first fumble? And he's been so good.
Not of his career.
No, but this year, I think. Yeah. It's his first fumble. Yeah. He had 20 carries for 122 yards. I mean, even if you take out that long run, he still had 19 carries for 70 yards. You know. So, I mean, and you don't want to take out the long run.
No, you don't. But he played less than four yards a carry.
Well, but you take out anybody's longest carry. Usually you might be.
It's fine, but how many guys have a 60-yard run in a game? That's kind of rare.
I don't know. I mean, that's unfair to say less than
Do you think he was running great?
I thought he played a good game, yeah.
Well,
was it his best game? I don't know that it was his best game, but I don't think it was his fault.
I think he was just had kind of a tough time getting going with the way that front was.
I thought he made the edge. I thought he made the most of some situations where it looked like he'd get nothing and he would get a few yards.
Okay. I mean, but you're a Chubb apologist. I do love Nick Chubb.
I'm a Chubb apologist. The guy's played great.
I love Nick Chubb.
He's averaging 5.25 yards per carry this season.
I love Nick Chubb.
But I think it's fair. Here's my one concern about Freddie, and I want your take on this. Do we agree that this team seems to be a little too emotional?
What do you mean?
Well, they are. Would you say the team has been undisciplined through 6 weeks?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. So haven't they at times looked like they don't have control of their emotions, and that's led to some penalties? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
What did you notice that Freddie Kitchens is going to be flipping out a lot on the sidelines?
Yeah, I mean, he is kind of, I think, had some issues keeping his cool on the sidelines.
If the coach is constantly going bananas on the sidelines,
it doesn't instill confidence to remain calm. Like,
You don't really see
Pete Carroll losing his mind like that. Pete Carroll seems pretty cool.
Russell Wilson, does he lose his temper?
No.
Does he go bananas?
Yeah, but to be fair, I don't think Baker Mayfield looked like he was losing his mind.
Not really, but like the Browns lost their cool on those penalties. And that penalty on Jarvis was a terrible call.
Terrible call.
As bad as it gets. But between that and what happened at the end of the first, or in the second half with the replay and that whole thing at the goal line, which was a mess, to me, in that case, Freddie seemed like he had lost control of the situation, and things kind of got out of hand.
You know, in that situation with that challenge.
Yeah.
There's another thing where I was thinking about just with Freddie and kind of his emotions and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, do you think he is an aggressive coach?
Yeah.
But is it too much? Because he says I'm going to be aggressive no matter what, and I don't really have a problem with those fourth down calls going for it. And that's no man's land. I think. From an analytics standpoint, it makes more sense. I mean, you're what, the 35, 38 yard line? Like, I'm always going for those.
Yes.
If it's fourth and seven or less,
right.
Why not? But what did you think about the challenge?
I didn't like it.
On the goal line.
I didn't like it, even though I thought he got in. Because to me,
you're getting another shot no matter
it's
what.
It's fourth and goal. You're at the inch line.
Now, I'll say this. Did Freddie respond?
But you couldn't tell for sure that he was in.
Did he respond today? Was he asked about why they didn't quarterback sneak? Because you know Baker was hurt. I wonder if that factored in.
He was why they didn't quarterback sneak. He didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything about Baker.
Okay.
He didn't get asked about that in the press conference.
Because to me, I'm thinking, why are we not quarterback sneaking?
Especially on a day where it seemed like Baker, for the first time, wanted to kind of run a little bit.
He ran pretty well.
He did.
The touchdown opened up, man.
I think there's some fair criticism. And I think this team is a little out of control of their emotions. And coach has alluded to that. And I wonder if it starts with the coach going bananas. Dustin, when I got mad at Freddie a few weeks ago for saying essentially that the league was picking on Odell Beckham, and I said, when you say that, it allows Odell, whether he actually does it or not, to even subconsciously say every time that something goes wrong or a call goes against him, to say, oh, woe is me, I can't win, they're against me. And now we basically have the whole team complaining about the officials yesterday. So go back to what I said a few weeks ago when Freddie made the excuse and said the league was picking on Odell. Now you have Sheldon Richardson, you have plenty of players complaining about the referees.
Yeah.
You have Sheldon Richardson essentially saying that the league is and the refs are out to get us. If your whole team has that attitude, then every time things go wrong, you're going to get emotional and you're going to go, woe is me. And some guys are going to say, what's the point? We can't win. The refs are against us. And I believe this all goes back to Freddie making the excuse for Odell Beckham and saying the league is out to get him. Dustin, that was a terrible call. We all know it. There are terrible calls all the time. This one was particularly bad against Jarvis Landry. The league is not out to get Odell Beckham. The league is not out to get the Browns. It doesn't make sense. You have no rational reason to believe that the league is getting out to get the Browns.
No, I mean, listen, bad calls happen.
And you got to stop having that attitude because then you're going to expect things to go bad all the time, and that's bad. I think this is a problem for the Browns right now.
I think that's fair. You know, Freddie needs to send the message that we can't control the uncontrollables. We can't control what the officials call. Officials make bad calls, but they make bad calls for both sides. It happens in every game. That call on Jarvis Landry was absurd.
It was hideous.
And in calls like that are ones that potentially cost you ball games. But it happens to everybody.
That's right.
You know, you get hit there. That was a terrible sequence. I mean, you have the illegal man downfield on the Beckham play. And you come back and you know, Landry gets called for that. And now you have no chance. You're not coming back from that. That drive's over.
Right.
That point. So, I don't know.
It's
a disappointing day
because
I really felt like that was the Browns came out. They were not flat. I mean, you had 20 points in the first, you know, 15 minutes and 30 seconds.
Great start.
Scored right inside the second quarter. Great throw from Baker to Ricky Seals Jones on the touchdown. You know, that's the way you want to see. Now the defense played pretty well for the most part in the first half.
I thought the first half they played great considering to the two turnovers. They gave up 3 points on those two turnovers.
Look, man, in the end, as poorly as the Browns played, and I said this last night, as poorly as the Browns played, you get one stop, you win the game.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. You have the lead.
But you got to do it. You got to get done.
You do, and you didn't. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of blame to go around. But in the end, as poorly as you played, you have the lead with 7 and change to go in the fourth quarter. You got the lead. Get a stop.
216.
Or hold them to a field goal at least. Right?
Yeah. Yes. 578-0092, the number to jump in. You might have been able to challenge that catch if you hadn't wasted the challenge earlier or the time and the timeout. but whatever.
I mean, that's a tough spot too.
Yeah.
Because some people are like, well, why did you call a timeout with 2:32 to go? And it was your last timeout.
Yeah.
That's 32 seconds are valuable.
Yeah.
If you save that timeout.
No,
I use it on the other side.
Yeah.
No, I hear what you're saying. If you don't challenge the Jarvis Landry one, then you've got an extra timeout.
That's right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.